You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop alongside me, Kay Murray, in the studio. And we'll start today's show with the news that Romelu Lukaku is officially back at Inter. It's a season-long loan. There are pictures of him in Milan already. Videos online also with the Inter president, Stephen Zhang, promising to score a lot of goals. And on his return interview, he actually admitted that he'd been in contact with Inter's manager, Simone Inzaghi, all season. Speaking, of course, about last season, as we now welcome in Frank Leboeuf to the show as well. But Craig, I want to start with you, and I want to remind you that he played under Antonio Conte, yet he's admitting that he's been in touch with Inzaghi all of last season.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested to know just how early he was in touch with him, but no surprise that his commitment to Chelsea was minimal. No surprise that we know that he wants to go back and has got his wish short term. And I think it's just further proof for Chelsea supporters or the Chelsea hierarchy, the manager, that his heart was never in it. And, you know, when you're at such a high-pressured club in an elite league like the Premier League, and you're brought in as the guy who, at that point, they thought was going to potentially make the difference, and a pretty solid unit at the time, and Chelsea were a pretty solid unit at that point, and he was going to be the guy to be repeating his form of the 2 or 3 years he had in Milan. And then you're calling up a manager of your former club. I mean, that's just dire in terms of commitment, isn't it? For any player, never mind one who's been brought in for such a huge fee.
You wonder if it's a bit silly as well, Frank, because there's no option to buy here, no obligation clause. It was $100 million that Chelsea paid for him. He might have to go back there, and yet already he's saying that he's been in touch with Inzaghi last season.
That's what I'm concerned about, you know. I would be lying if I would say that I'm happy for him, to see him happy at Inter, because we have to read between the lines. What does he mean when he say that? He's going 1 year in advance where, as you said, the board will have to wonder at Chelsea. They will have to wonder, you know, what's going to happen to him and what we're going to do with that guy who paid $113 million to come over. He's clearly saying that he wasn't happy at Chelsea. He is also saying, I don't want to go back. So that's going to be a main concern. It's kind of a tactic. He's maybe working for Inter, saying, I don't want to go back, so I'm going to make sure Chelsea lower the price. Otherwise, you won't be able to buy me, even if you're saying there is no guarantee that he's going to be gone to Inter next season and Inter's going to buy him. But that's a possibility. I think we have to read between the lines. And saying that he's already working for Inter to buy him next season.
Well, we're going to take a look at some more of the parts from the Sky Italia interview, Romelu Lukaku, on his return to Inter. He said, I've always said that I have Inter in my heart. I know I will return to Inter. I really hope from the bottom of my heart to return to Inter, not at the end of my career, but when I'm still at top level, to win more together. Sorry, this was actually the interview that he did when he was still at Chelsea
Christmas
back
time,
in December.
Christmas time.
So obviously, this has all been at least bubbling since then, Shaka.
Yeah, I remember when that interview came out, I was one of the few people in this panel to try to defend Romelu Lukaku. If what he's saying now about being in touch with Inzaghi is even remotely true, if there's any shred of truth to it, then I sat here and was trying to defend the indefensible. Because I do not understand how you make those comments in December. I don't understand how you make these follow-up comments now in June. Romelu Lukaku has to understand the implication of what he's seeing. The bigger picture to this is not lost on him. So I am really struggling to figure out what the angle is here, because it makes absolutely no sense unless he knows right now that come the end of his loan, Inter will pay whatever they need to bring him back. That he's played his last bit of football for Chelsea. I don't think he can make that call, not in June of 2022. So for me, it's confusing and disappointing.
I can go back to the chat we had that around this period. You can say these things are rather silly and needless. You can say them. But if Shaka Hislop or myself say, I want to leave Celtic or Newcastle, I want to go back to London, and you make that public, you want to go back and play in London, you better make sure you're keeping clean sheets. You mm-hmm. better make sure you're playing well. You better make sure you can handle the pressure. He couldn't do it. He gave the interview, he couldn't handle the pressure. He hid. He played in games where he never showed up. He never showed for the ball. He was not playing very much, but when he did, he was anonymous in the most. Scored a couple of goals at the end of the season. And go back to Frank's point about going back. Chelsea don't want him back. He can score. I mean, they might have to have him back. They don't want him back. He could go to Inter Milan and score 35 goals on loan. They wouldn't give a stuff. They don't want him back because he's not been able to cut the mustard under the pressure of the Premier League's lights. So that's his bed. He's made it. He can lie on it. And it seems for everybody who tells me he's such a... and he might be an articulate, well-thought, well-spoken, speaks several languages. I don't care. Just because you speak several languages doesn't mean you're a bright chappy. You don't have to say these things. You know what I mean? You can keep some things concealed. And I think this is just irking again to people that put a lot of time and effort in to try and make him the number one player at Chelsea.
It makes such little sense. And I know you were with me in this, thinking that Thomas Tuchel maybe could have handled it a little bit better in terms of the fallout around the interview. But again, if there's any shred of truth to that Romelu Lukaku is in touch with Inzaghi all season long, even before this December interview, then I owe Thomas Tuchel an apology. Because
get to London. Go on.
Well,
over.
I want to go back to London.
Steve's apologies. Sorry, Carl.
Steve's applauding money, and you're going to give an apology. There'll be nobody left here.
In all seriousness, it's just absolutely ridiculous for Romelu Lukaku to make that statement. I honestly do not know how he benefits from this.
Just don't make the sorry on Twitter, because Craig might unfollow you. He hates all those apologies on Twitter.
Well,
if he says sorry publicly on Twitter.
But I hate most things on Twitter. I'll be honest with you, I hate most things on Twitter.
I put on a Shaq mentory.
I open my Twitter most days to read the news and I go, sycophant, 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 sycophant. Oh, God.
Let's talk about the fact, though, that he has gone, Frank, right now. We know that Chelsea are looking to bring in new players, Sterling and Rafinha. We've been talking about it a lot here on ESPN FC. Is there not some type of thinking that maybe they could have kept Lukaku at least for a little bit longer to see if this might work for him?
Yeah, but again, Lukaku didn't want to stay. And I think for most fans, they didn't want to see Lukaku anymore for Chelsea. So I think it was there were no way to sort out the problem. And the only way in emergency state was to loan him. That's what they did. But I wouldn't have seen Lukaku starting the season with Chelsea with all he said, with what he showed on the field. It's impossible. I think everything was broken, I would say, in terms of negotiation, in form of discussion, even with Tuchel. So it was the best of the club for him to go. Now, they have a financial aspect of the transfer to deal with, where they will never get the money back. I think it's a big lesson for them. Will they have to spend more money in some other players coming one day? I think they will think twice before doing that. But again, for Lukaku, there were no way to escape him leaving the Blues.
Well, I did mention Rafinha, and I'm not sure who's hijacking who here, but it does look as though Barca could be threatening to hijack the transfer of Rafinha to Chelsea, even though Barca had initially been the team he was expected to join. But after all that news about Chelsea being close to agreeing a deal with the Brazilian, his agent, former Barca player Deco, was spotted at Barcelona's offices on Wednesday. So we now welcome in Gemma Soler to get the latest on this from the Barcelona side of things. Gemma, what can you tell us?
All okay, that yeah, this is true. Deco was at the Camp Nou earlier today. He had a meeting with President Joan Laporta. They have such a great relation. And Deco, he's not only the agent of Rafinha in this case, but he's also an ambassador for FC Barcelona, as he was a former player. So that doesn't mean that necessarily he was only there for that agent role. And my impression here is it's true that there was an agreement, a previous agreement, and this was Barcelona were thinking that if Leeds were relegated, his price was lower and they could afford that. And there was an interest from Barcelona and for the player. But in today's critical financial situation for Barcelona, Rafinha is quite far for them, for the price. So my feeling is that at some point Barcelona are putting one last piece of pressure on Ousmane Dembélé, saying we like Rafinha because he needs to take a decision in the next 24 hours, either to renew. He has a new offer on the table. It's a worse offer, not for him, but for his agent, Moussa Sissoko from Barcelona, or to go to another team, to Chelsea, or to any other team, because at this tomorrow at noon, at midnight, he won't be having a contract anymore with Barcelona. So it's last 24 hours. So I think that increasing of the Barcelona's interest for Rafinha, we have to read it on that way. Okay.
Yeah, it does all seem to be linked, and we'll get to the Dembélé talk in just a moment. But in terms of Rafinha, if the numbers could be made to work, and that's where he prefers to go, Barcelona, could he just try and make sure that that happens for him?
Yeah, listen, Barcelona are an attractive prospect, and always has been and probably always will be, even despite their financial issues right now. The trouble for Barcelona is those financial issues, that as much as you may want to play for Barcelona, you may not be able to sign. You may not be able to complete that. And while, yes, as a player, your contract can go out, players are in more than enough that they can see themselves through for a month or two, you do not want to have your future hanging in limbo. You do not want the opportunity for Chelsea to pass you by, and then all of a sudden, Barcelona can't make the numbers work, and that leaves you kind of hiding to nothing. And that's the balancing act. That's the balancing act for a player who there's other interest, other clubs are interested in. Well, what do you do? How long do you hang on, even for that dream move?
Gemma mentioned that this could also be something that's putting that pressure on Dembélé. That contract, as she said, will be expiring tomorrow, June 30th. Who would be better for them, do you think, Dembélé or Rafinha?
I think
that's very...
Go on, Gemma.
No, I have the feeling, because it's difficult to say with this player and that agent, because it's been such a soap opera, and I don't think you can really be that logical with Ousmane Dembélé, because he has never been with Barcelona. But it's true that he has been, he has had his last best 6 months. He's happy with Xavi. He wants to stay with Xavi. They chat last week, and Ousmane Dembélé, he said he wants to stay. So if that's the wish, and apparently the salary Chelsea is offering is not that much different, anything can happen in this crazy soap opera.
And you wonder, actually, then, if Dembélé and his agent actually overestimated what would happen, that there might be a bidding war for him, that they could push up a contract renewal and get more money than they wanted.
I just get the feeling that Dembélé will stay and Rafinha will make this move to Chelsea. I think Chelsea's need to get players in, albeit that's not a priority position, but, well, Thomas Tuchel seems to think wide players are. You know, we're talking about defenders yesterday, and that would be, even with Dembélé going out, it'd still be a lot of money for Barcelona when they need to fill spots in other positions, and you know, they're still coveting Lewandowski, obviously, who's still having a head-to-head with his bosses at Bayern. So it seems to me that both are using each other as a bit of a pawn here, but I get a feeling by 24 hours time we'll have seen Dembélé sign some contract that both are kind of happy with, and Rafinha will be making a move somewhere else, and Leeds will get a lot of money, as they will for Calvin Phillips, but it's going to leave them in a little bit of dire straits with their new manager, so we shouldn't forget that as well. All these top players moving out of Leeds, you know, Calvin Phillips, who's excellent, and Rafinha, who's been coveted by some of these big clubs, that's going to leave a large hole for them as well.
Frank, if money was no option, who would you prefer to have if you were the Barcelona manager, Dembele or Rafinha?
Can I say none? It's possible for me. I express myself about Ousmane Dembele and the lack of consistency that he showed playing for Barcelona. And Stevie also expressed in the same show, I think it was 2 days ago, that it's impossible to say what's going to happen with Dembele, and if it wants, he will have a normal full-time season with Barcelona or any other club. On Rafinha, I saw him playing for Rennes. I saw him playing for Leeds with a little bit more consistency. But it's a pure talent. He's somebody I have doubts about still, the same question mark that I have for Dembele, the consistency of performances. And I hear that he could go to Chelsea, yes. But just confirm to me, please, Kay. Ziyech is still at the club, he's still at Chelsea, and he's going to stay at Chelsea? Because for me, if Ziyech does, for me, Rafinha is a lookalike. So why do you need Rafinha if you have Ziyech? Okay, that's my question. So I don't know what to do and what to do with those two players, but I have doubts. And with all due respects, I will go for none.
Well, it's a good job you're not the Barcelona manager then, isn't it, Frank? Don't forget La Liga does return to our screens in August. We're very much looking forward to how that Barca team will be shaping up and who actually will be in it as well. Their first game comes across the weekend of August 13th and 14th. They will be at home against Rayo Vallecano. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. There's been a lot of talk about the future of Christian Pulisic, not least because of the players that are being linked with Chelsea for next season. Rafinha and Sterling, the hope of the club actually signing both of them, is the report. As for Pulisic, he started just 13 games in the Premier League last season, featured in 38 overall. But if these players are to come in, he's set to face even stiffer competition for a starting spot. You do wonder if they do come in, what it will mean for his future. We'll continue the chat on that with Frank Leboeuf as well. What do you think, Frank? What should Christian Pulisic do with the fact that we're seeing the names of these players linked with the club? Is he going to get pushed out?
It might be, and I would be him. I would think twice before staying for Chelsea. I always said that it wasn't the plan of Tuchel to put him in a starting 11, and it's never been the case. So if he wants more minutes, if he wants to be sure to lead the US team the best way that he wants to lead them, he should leave. Because I'm thinking that he's not a big plan of Tuchel, and players want to play, and Christian Pulisic wants to play. So the only the only solution for him is to leave the club.
One of the reports is that Chelsea have offered Pulisic in a bid to sign Matthijs de Ligt from Juve. It was originally Timo Werner in that deal, but now it's suddenly changed to Pulisic. So they've obviously got some plans for him if they can get him. Could you see him going to Juve and it being a better fit for him?
I'll be honest, I'm not 100% certain how good a fit it is. I understand Chelsea's interest in de Ligt and maybe using Pulisic as a make weight in that, because I don't think he gets more minutes this season, which obviously would be a concern. But Chelsea have made signings that have turned out really well that you didn't expect. Cuadrado from Chelsea, as an example, just didn't make sense at the time, but look at the service that he's provided for them. So while I sit here and say it doesn't really make an awful lot of sense to me, Pulisic to Juventus, or the interest from Juventus's perspective, they've been very good in assimilating players who don't think fit, but they've done a very good job of it in the past.
Does it count for something, though, if you hear that Juve are keen to get you and they are keen to bring you in? For Christian Pulisic, when he probably does want to be guaranteed these starting minutes, should that count for him?
Well, it doesn't sound like to me that Juve are desperate to bring him in. It sounds like Chelsea are desperate to get a centre-half and offload somebody with it, who Juventus might see as some sort of piece of the jigsaw. I would be concerned going to another huge club about game time, because Juventus will be smarting at their recent form. The fact that after that long period of domination in Italy, they're no longer the kingpins anymore. And with Max Allegri in there, albeit with the financial restrictions, they're looking for another assault on the Scudetto. And that puts pressure on managers and team selection. And, you know, he's already got that at Chelsea. So as Frank said, if he's got a brain in his head and a good agent, he goes in, he speaks to the club, he speaks to Tuchel, he says, look, I'll lay it on the table, lay the cards out. What's the situation? I want to play, I've got a World Cup, a lot of players have got a World Cup, but if I'm not going to play, I want to move on. And I've said many, many times, I feel that he's going to go to a club that sits just beneath where the others are. With no disrespect, but just throwing a few names out there, I'm not saying they're going to sign them, but Shaq's old club, West Ham, who were punching above their weight this year, these kind of clubs...
Ambitious clubs.
Yeah, clubs that are ambitious to try and get in there, and maybe if they get in the top four, it's a bonus for them, or where he's going to play more often. That's where I see him going and getting some consistency, if he stays injury-free. I think if they do sign Rafinha, even before they sign Rafinha and Sterling, if that's what happens, this year was going to be a struggle for him again to get the game time that he wants. If you add those two in, it's going to be even more problematic.
Let's talk about the fact that it is Matthijs de Ligt who's been identified at the other end of the pitch, though, Frank. The other day on the show, Stevie's concern is that with Rudiger gone, they'll be missing some of that mobility in the back, and that a pairing of Matthijs de Ligt and Thiago Silva, for him, he says, is not mobile enough. What do you think of what he said?
I would agree, and it's a fact. But they have other qualities, and De Ligt had been struggling at first, you know, with Juventus. But he showed, you know, when he was playing for Ajax, and I think he showed last season that he's capable of dealing with any strikers. And with the experience of Thiago Silva, with the help of Edouard Mendy behind him, and I guess with a good N'Golo Kanté in front of me, I'm sure he can sort any problems out. It's not the only possibility for Chelsea as a central defender, because we also hear about Koulibaly from Naples. But I definitely think that De Ligt will please the Chelsea fans and will do well for the club. So I go for him. I will definitely go for him. It's because Steve is jealous he doesn't go for Liverpool. It's why.
Well, I wonder if you'll go for what we're about to show you here. We've been talking about it this week. Thiago Silva calling on Neymar to join him at Chelsea. He said he has to come to Chelsea. If it happens, it will be for the best. He doesn't need to comment. As of now, I don't know anything, but I hope it will happen. Frank, do you hope it will happen? Would you like to see Neymar at your old club?
No, I wouldn't say no, but I don't know, the only person you should ask is Tuchel. because Tuchel, I guess, well, I wasn't in the dressing room, but I was told that he had some issues with Neymar. So as simple as it could be, I don't think it's possible for Neymar to come to Chelsea if I don't see Tuchel willing to see him, where he couldn't handle the dressing room because of the attitude of some players, and one of them was definitely Neymar, like he has had problem with anybody. On top of it is the wage. I mean, will it be on loan? Will it be a transfer? I think nobody wants to pay more than 100 million for a transfer fee for Neymar. So if it's on loan, who's going to pay the wage? I think Neymar is stuck with Paris Saint-Germain because there is no club who can afford the wage of Neymar or the transfer fee on Neymar. And question marks about the attitude. Is the Neymar from Barcelona, which I have doubts about that, or is it the Neymar that we saw the past 3 years with many injuries, some absence, and no consistency? So it's going to be hard for Tuchel to accept that decision, but it's just a comment for Thiago Silva. It's not a rumour from the board of Chelsea.
What did Chelsea become last year? A circus. Right? With the Lukaku interview and all that shenanigans when they were up there battling for the Premier League, and then we had the sanctions. No, well, I say not down to Chelsea, that in some way it is, but the whole thing became just one big circus. And if they want that to continue, bring in Neymar. He can walk along the trapeze while all the others have been shot out of the cannons. And everybody can laugh and joke and pay the money, and that's what it'll become. So no, never not in 100 years. Sorry.
You'll be happy to hear there's going to be more talk and questions to you about Neymar coming up in the latest edition of
cannons.
Extra Time. It will be Frank Shecker and Craig on Extra Time. Make sure to always stay up to date with it. Check it out over on our YouTube page.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
There's some interesting reports coming from Spain on the future of Antoine Griezmann, one which states that Atleti are trying to offload Griezmann because he takes up too much of the wage budget, which means that Atleti can't sign free agent Axel Witsel right now because their wage limit would be exceeded. It's worth mentioning another report in Marca actually says that Atleti have filed a request for the second year of his loan. But when it does come to Griezmann and this talk on the wages, as we welcome back in Gemma Soler and Frank Leboff, it's an interesting situation, Gemma, on whether or not Atleti do want to stick with Antoine Griezmann.
Yes, and I think it's quite obvious what there are these doubts in Cholo Simeone, because it's been such a disappointing season, both for Griezmann and for Atletico Madrid, who were the defending champion, and they didn't reach what we were expecting, probably, with the most quality squad Diego Simeone has ever had. So that's why there is so much concern about Griezmann. He was Atletico was trying to get rid of that huge salary, but it's a very complicated offer. There was even Athletic Club Bilbao involved in that operation. They already said no. They were trying to find if there is a solution, but in my opinion, it's difficult, and they might be working on that second-year loan for Griezmann next season.
It's been quite the drop-off in form for Griezmann and performances, hasn't it?
Oh, very much so. Bearing in mind he was an extremely happy chappy to leave Barcelona and go back there. The promised land for him, and it didn't promise very much in the end. That being said, you know, Simeone was at sixes and sevens with his team last year, all through the year, we know that. I mean, he didn't know what the back four was going to be, he didn't know what the midfield was going to be. He certainly didn't know what the front line was going to be. So I don't think that helped anything. That being said, if you do offload him, you know, Suarez is gone. What does that leave you with? João Felix, who, you know, has never hit the heights of his talent, career, Cunha. You know, that's... You're going to have to replace him with something. You can't, you know, if you're already struggled this year and you're going to lose Suarez and Griezmann from your squad, that's... So that's tough without bringing somebody else in that position. So they might just have to suck this one and see with this guy and hope that he comes good again in the second season.
Well, he'll be hoping so too, no doubt, Frank. It's a World Cup year. It's a difficult situation for Griezmann to be in, isn't it?
It is, and it's why it's very important to make the right choices, to feel the choice that you're going to make. When you choose a club, we all knew that it would be a mistake for Griezmann to sign for Barcelona because of the Messi situation, the fact that the year before he denied Barcelona and he would never been welcome the way he should have been. So it was a mistake, and he's paying the price of it. And as you say, the World Cup is soon. He hasn't been good for 2 years with the club. He's been struggling also with the national team. There are some question marks about him, you know, starting games with national team. He's been on the bench sometimes, even if he played, I think, something like 65 games in a row with the national team. But there is no reaction from him, or if he can't find the right club for him to play and to be good as he's been before, it might be a struggle and might lose his place for the World Cup.
But no way back to Barcelona for him anytime soon, right, Gemma?
No, no one is expecting him in Barcelona. It would be actually a big problem for the a club who is trying to get rid of big salaries to try to balance the book and to have players that fit in the Xavi's idea. Target number one is Robert Lewandowski. So it would be such a problem to have Griezmann back. They tried. He didn't fit in the team. He didn't fit in that idea. So no one is expecting him here in Barcelona.
He needs to make it count next season, then, if he stays, surely, Xhaka.
Yeah, he does. And listen, so much about this is just confusing. First of all, given how disappointing Griezmann was at Barcelona, Atleti, you understand them taking a chance on him, given his performances for Atletico Madrid. But how they do the numbers to now all of a sudden find themselves in a situation where they can't pursue some of their own signings. It would have come as more of a surprise if he had actually had a good season, given how disappointing he was with Barcelona. And now Atletico Madrid find themselves in a position where either you stick by him and hope something comes together. But who's going to take a chance in Griezmann? It's all well and good saying Atleti want to get rid or get him off their books because they want to do this, that or the other. But who takes that chance? I'm not sure that there's a club out there that takes on Griezmann and puts him anywhere near the kind of money that he's on now, given the performances that he's now produced for both Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. And it amazes me that some of the biggest clubs in world football are making these ridiculous financial errors.
A big few months ahead for Antoine Griezmann if he is to stay at Atleti, especially with the World Cup coming up this winter. You can stay up to date with Griezmann's future, Lewandowski's and Witzel's by visiting our website. Our transfer talk is over there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting when you take a look at the favourites for the tournament. Spain up there with England. There's quite a number of teams actually being called the favourites across the board, but no doubt with the likes of Putellas, who topped that FC ranking list, and of course Aitana Bonmatí herself, Spain will definitely be a force to be reckoned with. Gemma Soler, let's talk a little bit more about the national side and how their chances to win the whole thing are being seen back in Spain.
Well, it's of course the favorite team here in Spain, but I think we shouldn't put it there as the main candidate. I think we cannot forget about Germany. For me, it's the team who can compete the best. Locals, of course, England, even Sweden, they were silver in the Olympics. So I think there are quite some interesting, I would put the Netherlands there too, some interesting squad, and it's going to be such a competitive Euro this year.
Now we're just taking a look at Group B, Spain's group, along with Germany, Denmark and Finland. When you talk about how competitive things are going to be, you can see Germany fifth in the FIFA rankings, Spain seventh. But it does have to be said, there are some big stars in there, including Bonmatí, Gemma, also Putellas. There are some big stars to be checking out in the Spanish side.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's going to be the baseline of this team is Barcelona, that team that won La Liga and were in the final of the Champions League. So it reminds us, of course, a lot of what happened when Spain was, for the first and only time, a world champion in the men's football team, because it was the same. It was that Vicente del Bosque squad in South Africa were Barcelona. So it's kind of the same now, because they have the same goalkeeper, Sandra Paños, they have Mapi León, Irene, Patri, Alexia Putellas, Bonmatí, Mariona Caldentey. So it's the same baseline and with some great additions. Of course, there is a huge setback that top scorer Jenny Hermoso, she's injured, so they are going to be missing her goals. But it's such an interesting competitive team. We're listening to Aitana Bonmatí. They say is the new Alexia Putellas. So it's such an interesting team. But they had such a big setback in the final of the Champions League, that Barcelona, in terms of physicality. So it's going to be very interesting if they can compete at that same physical level as, for example, Germany.
Yeah, you mentioned what a big miss Jenny Hermoso will be for everybody, for the fans watching as well. But it was interesting to hear Bonmatí say there that she did look up to the likes of Iniesta and what they did mean when you're saying that it's a Barcelona base in this side as well. This is a team that could be setting an example and, like, she's hoping to have some of the young men, the young boys playing football, looking up to them too.
Yes, actually they are. You know, this season, the teacher who was in the last Clásico at the Camp Nou, the teacher who was sold the most, it was Alexia Putellas. Not a men teacher. The second one was Pedri's teacher. Of course, Leo Messi's gone. That's a big difference. But it's changing a lot. And what Aitana Bonmatí was mentioning, it's very interesting. They were not having role models. I don't know it was the same for UK, but for me, we had really few role models. models, women working as a sport journalist, but we had some of them. These football players, they didn't have that. There was not TV doing the women's football, so they had to look at that man. Now it's completely changed. You walk through the streets in Barcelona, in Spain, in Europe, and you see t-shirts of Barcelona with Alexia Putellas, with Bon Mati, with Hermoso, with Mariona Caldente. So that's a huge difference, and you see lots of girls playing in the street football. So it's a change maker, that thing. It's a game changer, and I think we will be seeing a lot of evolution from women's football, of course.
Yeah, times are definitely changing, and for the better too. The Women's Euros just around the corner here on ESPN, and Gemma will be involved for us. That kicks off on July 6th. You can watch every game live across the network here on ESPN. Well, we thank all of our contributors tonight, because this is the end of the show. Not for Craig and Shaka and Frank, right, though, because they're going to be sticking around for extra time. And you'll be happy to know, Craig.
Contributors?
Nobody's ever called me that before. They've called many things.
Bye from our contributors and myself. See you next time. Stick around for extra time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We've got Craig Burley, Frank LaBeouf, and Shaka's back. You've been hanging out with Steph Curry.
Yes, what? I was. It's
back with the little people now.
What?
You're welcome.
What height is Steph Curry?
Huh?
What height is Steph Curry? You taller than Steph Curry?
A little.
Are you?
Yeah.
What kind of basketball player is that?
I could take him.
Yeah.
I feel I could take him. 6'4". Yeah.
So what was you doing? What's the backstory to that?
Golf.
You don't play golf, you pack that in.
No, I do. We're in Pebble Beach. Play Pebble Beach this weekend on Monday.
For what?
Howard University Golf Gala.
So he went to Howard and you went to Howard?
No, he didn't go to Howard. He put up the money to start Howard University's golf team.
Oh, okay.
So they have a fundraising gala.
Huh? Senior golf, what's that got to do with you?
Well, I'm a Howard alum, so I went to play golf.
Pebble Beach must have been a challenge to you.
It was testing. It was testing. I shot the 44 on the back. I'm happy with that.
But he's delighted to be back in Bristol, Connecticut.
Yes.
I tell you what, he does manage to travel, this man. He deflects about, he never... And then he's...
You didn't even know I was gone.
No.
Well, see?
Well, nobody's seen you.
Really? Well...
The only last time we saw you was sat in front of those two lamps at your house. And then you...
That's right.
Making noises.
Jack has been on a business trip.
That's
all right.
Right.
Pebble Beach, I've never played it.
It's Woffa. Gorgeous, yeah. Yeah. Goodness me, yeah.
Yep, Shaq has been mixing with the big ones. Yeah. All right.
I bet he never mentioned any of us.
Of course not.
Not once.
Of course not.
I didn't even think of you.
Speaking of big stars, you'll be happy with the first question, Craig. Why do you say Chelsea don't need a showman, Neymar? But the group thinks Rafinha, also a showman, could be a good fit. They both got more or less the same number of goals for their respective teams, despite Neymar missing out now and then during the season.
Now and then. Wow. Like that. Now and then. Who wrote this, Neymar's agent?
I will explain for this individual. I think Neymar is much more of a showman, has much more baggage. Oh, and by the way, comes with a much, much, much heavier salary than a man from Leeds United. So I hope that explains. And they're different positions. One's a white guy and one's not, really.
What did you describe it would be at Chelsea?
Circus.
Circus. That was good. That was funny. Neymar could walk on the trapeze while everybody else was going to shut off the cannons. That was funny. That made me good.
Can you imagine?
That was good.
Frank will pay for a ticket.
It's the last thing Triple needs this year, isn't it?
Okay, for all, based on the three selected expensive signings, which team was more wasteful in their spending? Number one, Chelsea, with Kepa at 71 million, Lukaku at 97 million, and Morata at 60 million, or Man United, with Pogba at 105 million, Maguire at 87 million, and Lukaku again at 84 million. What do you think, Frank?
Oh, Manchester United. Of course. You know, you just add the numbers and you have a better spending. That's appalling. Both of them, you know, the choices that they made, the price that they paid. And I think Shaka during the show explained that he doesn't understand, in fact, how people could put so many money, so much money on some people down. And I totally agree with that. I think that has to stop. People has to stop to get crazy about some players and putting so much money on that, because you don't get the money back. You get the money back on Messi. You get the money back on Cristiano Ronaldo. I guess you get the money back on Mbappe because, you know, merchandising-wise, you're going to get the money back. Otherwise, you waste the money. Or you bet, and you bet a lot.
You're getting quoted by Frank LaBeouf here.
Well, that's very, very, very nice indeed. Who are these centers again? I can't see.
Who is more wasteful? Kepa, Lukaku and Morata at Chelsea?
Right.
Or Pogba, Maguire and Lukaku at Man United?
I think Chelsea are more wasteful.
Take that, Frank.
Was it 73 for Kepa? You're not going to get any of that back. Lukaku, you just took a £90 million loss on Lukaku. Morata, I can't remember Morata's figures, but that was a disaster. At least you got games out of Pogba, you're still getting games out of Maguire, and at least you got money back, substantial money back for Lukaku.
They've not been very good games, have they?
Nobody's had good games.
There's a counter argument to say, yeah, Chelsea have wasted money on these players, but in that period they've had some semblance of success.
Yeah.
Cups.
Granted, but we're just talking about the wasteful
Steph
signing.
Curry said, who the hell are you?
No, he was challenged me to a one-on-one basketball.
Did he come up and say, are you Shaka Hislop, the mayor of Newcastle?
He's like, I've heard him.
No. Did he come up and say, are you the mayor of Newcastle?
I was on the back of my shirt. That's how I had it on the back of my shirt.
Carrying his award.
Let me sign your shirt for you, Steph.
He had the big thing around his neck. What do you call that thing?
Oh, yeah.
He came with his
medallion.
Yeah. Steph brought his MVP trophy. He brought his.
Now, did you say, look what I've got?
Yeah, I was like, you wait till you see mine.
What, did you bring a hammer of the year? How would you bring an MVP trophy?
He brought it and he gave it to the kids to take.
Oh, there's kids there.
Kids golf team.
So I thought it was kids.
How would you do it with kids?
I thought it was just like sycophantic adults like you.
No. I was the only sycophantic adult.
Students.
The students in the golf team, the Howard golf team, and they all took photos with
me. So you're saying he doesn't know who we are? You're saying he doesn't watch the show?
That's correct.
Okay. When did you tell him?
I denied all knowledge of you.
Did you tell
of
him
all
off?
Of you?
Did you say watch it?
No, I didn't.
Spreading the word, Shaka. You're supposed to spread the word wherever you go.
I'll remember
ESPN
that.
ESPN FC, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
1.3 million subscribers on YouTube and all that.
1.1?
You have to be.
Something like that.
That was months ago. It's 1.4.
Be a little bit corporate, Shaka, please.
Do you know when he rings up the boss for these days, they must be like, ah, fuck. Again! that's a great deflection tactic.
Blame on
never have time off. Never.
Never. All right, ranking order. I'll go with you, Craig. 90s era Serie A, Messi Ronaldo era in La Liga, or the Pep Klopp era in the English Premier League?
90s Serie A. Well, I wasn't really across that, to be honest, because I was playing in England at the time, but I know what you mean. It was a very... that would be the time with Channel 4 in England, where we used to go big on it.
Football Italia.
Football Italia. It was very nice. The Messi-Ronaldo era... I don't know, really. I wouldn't say Pep Klopp, just because it was the Premier League. I mean... Serie A or Messi? I would say Messi Ronaldo.
Me too. Yeah. I think Messi Ronaldo.
Ronaldo
had us for a decade, solid.
Would you agree, Frank?
Yeah. I do agree. Messi Ronaldo is simply amazing. So many goals, so many games, so many talent, so much talent. And after I have to go for the Serie A in the 90s, because I remember many of the French players like Marcel Desailly, Zidane, Didier Deschamps, and so many others, Candela in Roma, they played in the 90s for some clubs in Serie A. That was quite amazing to see Milan winning Champions League after Champions League. Pep Klopp is interesting, but Pep didn't win the Champions League. That's why I put it in a third position.
Little dig, that sounded like.
See, if you wanted to get some big ups with Steph Curry... You could have said...
There's something wrong with that entire sentence.
You could have said to him, you've got a colleague, moi, right? Scottish guy, very grumpy, got a sore arm at the moment, right? You could have said he played for Scotland Schoolboys under 15 basketball team.
Jagger, why didn't you do that?
Wow, I could have been him. Because I'm also about his height. Maybe I'm an inch or two shorter.
Well, all four.
No, I'm not. I'm not Dan Thomas.
What stopped you, Shaka?
From mentioning Craig's basketball experts.
Craig's basketball career.
I have to admit, I forgot about Craig's basketball.
I forgot about it.
He mentions his basketball career more than Frank mentions winning the World Cup.
Steph Curry can stick his MVP. When I was playing for Scotland, under-15s, in London against England under-15s, I got the MVP as the point guard, right?
Way before Steph did it.
Way before anybody over here was even talking about that kind of nonsense.
Way before Steph was even born.
way before Steph was... Okay. I didn't
even get out of the building and the Boston Celtics were on the phone.
Next Larry question.
Larry Bird came over himself and said, come set me up, Larry. Big Larry. Me and Big Larry go back.
Big Larry.
Me and Big Larry go. You know Larry Bird?
Yeah, of course.
Read the next question.
Well, I don't know him personally.
Read the next question.
Yeah, of course. But you haven't watched The Last Dance either, have you?
The what?
The Last Dance,
which
we told you.
Have you not watched it since the last show?
Have you started watching it?
How do you know I've not watched it since the last show?
Yeah, I don't.
He hasn't watched it.
I'm watching something on Hulu at the moment, so I'm in.
What are you watching? Love Island.
That's other people in my family. actually, Love Island has been on in my house on Hulu in the last few nights. My wife and my daughter are watching that. I am watching something else on there. That's my corporate stick for the day.
All right.
Hulu. Yeah. I can't get in trouble now.
If things got on differently, maybe the last dance could have been about you, but it wasn't to be, Craig.
I've had a few last dances.
Shaka, next question for you. What goalkeepers in Shaka's day does he think had the skills to play the modern way, passing out from the back?
Oh, goodness, that's a good question.
Well, not easy, is it?
None.
No.
I remember Frank.
Paul Robinson as well. I don't know how good he was. He could certainly strike the ball. Paul Robinson. I'm trying to think of who else really.
Not many goalkeepers. I remember, well, our goalkeeper at the time, I don't know, Frank, I think Frank was there with him. But he came before Frank. Dimitri Karin was, at the time when he signed for Chelsea, the Russian number one goalkeeper, right? He was a very good goalkeeper. But you gave him the ball back and he couldn't kick it far enough and long enough and quick enough away. In fact, one time, we'll talk about modern goalkeepers now being, you know, pretty up with their feet. At Stamford Bridge, we were playing Newcastle and I can't remember, but it was a very tight game. It was right at the end and Demi was taking a goal kick and he took, in golf terms, what we would call a very large divot. And the ball just managed to trundle to the edge of the box. To a Mr. Les Ferdinand, who dispatched it into the back of the net.
Yes, I love that.
And at which point, when Demi came back into the dressing room, Dennis Wise took his shoe off with all the cleats and studs on it and threw it right across the dressing room. It just missed his head and called him a few names.
So I know I'm setting myself up here. I already know.
Different.
I used to play out in the park. I played out in the field. When I was at the university in the US,
Howard?
When we were behind, I was the emergency striker. I would play out in the park. I wasn't bad on my feet.
But you weren't good either.
I could play on my feet, but you come to England and nobody expects you to. You don't practice it. Defenders don't want the ball back. They expect you to kick it long. They don't want it. So you just kind of lose touch.
But I was naturally
a very talented.
But see, people are so, the goalkeepers back then couldn't. I can't believe I'm going to be sticking up for goalkeepers now.
You know you want to.
And go in a room and cleanse myself. But for those that don't remember and who think this sport was only invented in the last decade,
Goalkeepers used to be able to pick the ball up, as we know. So you pass it back to the goalkeeper as a mechanism to take the pressure off. He'd pick it up, waste a bit. So they never had to do
never
that.
Never had to.
Pick it up, and then all of a sudden, that rule was banished, and you pass it back to the goalie, and there were sparks coming out of him.
Yeah.
Just like, so it's not that they couldn't do it. It was that it wasn't in the game.
But seriously, you get the ball back, defenders weren't looking for a short pass either. Defenders didn't want a ball under pressure either. So they'd pass it back, they'd turn around and just start running up the field. They didn't, so all you had to do was kick it. So there was never a need for, or want for goalkeepers to pass the ball under the back.
I was talking to Stevie about this, and our era playing Frank, Jack, me, in the 90s and early 2000s, whatever. I was talking to Stevie about it, and I was saying, it just felt, as a central midfielder, which I was, when you played the big, most teams, there was no space.
Yeah.
You're like, you look at the games now and you go, oh my God, look at the space he's got. There just seemed to be no space, and they were all really good players, but you had like no space. And it was because nowadays, obviously the game's changed. You get the goalkeeper and the centre half split here and the fullback split up there. And everybody pushes on, so all of a sudden, in the middle of the park, there's quite a bit of space. Everybody was condensed. It's just the way the game was, the way it was played. Such a more open, and I have to say, entertaining game now, but it was very...
Very different. Frank,
very different.
You replied straight away and said nobody, no goalkeeper could do it back then.
No, especially in England, I have to say. Yeah, I played a year with Dimitri Karin. Maybe the only one, if I may, because I played with him also with the national team, was Fabien Barthez, who was capable of taking on some players, even if he made a huge mistake. I think he was playing for Manchester United at the time. But he was capable of dribbling, and he played sometimes as a striker when we did some charities after our career. But he knew how to use the ball with his feet. With his left foot, but he was maybe the only one. Otherwise, I'm struggling finding somebody, except maybe Shaka Hislop, because when he was young, he was a very technical player.
You never see.
Right.
You reckon, Frank? You reckon Fabien Barthez is a myth? Because I've never seen Frank and Fabien Barthez
in the same room.
In the same room. At the same time.
True. They played the final together? Yeah. They played the final
in 90. No. It was one person.
Oh, it was? Oh, all right. I thought so.
You never saw them at the same time, even during that final, right?
No.
And you remember Laurent Blanc always used to kiss Fabien Barthez? I could see Frank kissing himself. I really believe they're one person, because Frank is the only player who could kiss himself.
And it turns out all those years ago, and it's an Etienne. In 1998, 3 months before the World Cup final, when I was going, Frank, down the tunnel. It turns out it wasn't Frank, it was Fabien Barthez. I mean, the gloves were a giveaway. I mean, I couldn't see the gloves at the time. Frank, you're not talking to me. And this guy's gone, who's this guy?
How'd he go?
This guy.
That's true.
It was my best French music. Who's this guy? Is that not French?
Look at Frank's nose. Has it happened a lot?
It was
Frank?
In Saint-Etienne. Craig, it was in Saint-Etienne, I think, that story.
We can hear
you played in Saint-Etienne in Scotland. And he pretended, he said, Frank, I talked to you, you didn't want to answer to me. So it wasn't me. I wasn't there. I didn't play that game.
Don't
was talking about that. Leave me alone with that story.
Six months previous, Frank had been my teammate, and I thought, why is Frank not talking to me? Hey, Frank! And he said to me, I wasn't there. I was talking to somebody that's all good, playing for France.
Has it happened a lot, Frank?
No. Yes, again yesterday, somebody called me Fabien Barthez on the street, down the street. I get a little bit upset because I don't find Fabien Barthez quite handsome, but whatever, I have to take it, you know, I guess. No, well, you know, old bald guy look alike, you know, but whatever, that's the way it is.
All right, for everyone.
It was his birthday, by the way, yesterday was his birthday, Fabien Barthez.
Barthez's birthday.
What age is
52.
He? 52, he's older than...
52.
He looks his age now, to be fair. Yeah.
time. We're going to talk baseball now. We've talked basketball today. We're going to talk baseball.
Okay.
For everyone, baseball players have walk-up music for every bat or at bat. What song would you have chosen for your on-field introductions and why?
Good God.
Is there a song that you'd like to rock out to?
I can't think of anyone.
Even if you're walking out to a boxing ring, what would your song be?
Pasha Dutchie on the left hand. Who sung that?
I will walk 500 miles. The Proclaimers.
Have you got one for?
I have absolutely no idea.
Frank has.
Because I'm very humble, I would choose Simply the Best.
I don't know.
That's can't think
question.
Of anything. All right. The last question is not really a question.
Why are you laughing already?
Are you going to ask yourself a question?
Not today. Kay, please remind all the boys of ESPN FC, when not on camera, they shouldn't be breathing heavily on the mic.
Who was that? Who did that?
Do you do it, Chaka?
Me? I don't know.
That's
is it
you.
Me?
That's you, Chaka.
I'm not here because I'm in here with them.
I don't know. I'm
Darth Vader over there.
Is it me, Frank?
Our producers are telling me that Chaka and Stevie are the worst culprit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, Stevie.
It's more than just heavy breathing with Stevie. Anyway, thanks so much for your questions. I will remind them all.
He was making noises the other day. Yesterday he was making noises when he was on. Things were clunking in the background.
Chaka, stop snoring.
All right, thank you so much for sending in your tweets and your questions. Thanks for all the fun. Make sure to join us tomorrow. We'll be doing it all over again.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.